1-800-205-6245. Everyone's welcome, so join us this Shabbat. And Shabbat Shalom, good Sabbath. If you enjoy alternative stations on the radio, shouldn't your TV service provide the same choices? You can get more channels than you have now, plus many more Christian and family programs in crystal clear 100% digital picture and sound, and the price is significantly lower than cable. Just call American Satellite at 970-443-7375. Already enjoying satellite TV but want a lower price? We can help you too. Packages start at only $19.99 a month. Call 970-443-7375. DVRs in high definition also available.
No state shall enter into any treaty, alliance, or confederation, grant letters of marque or reprisal, coin money, emit bills of credit, make anything but gold and silver coin a tender in payment of debts, pass any bill of attainder, ex post facto law, or law impairing the obligation of contracts, or grant any title of nobility. Article 1, Section 10.
Good morning, friends. This is Tom Horn filling in for the one and only Dr. Stanley Monteith, who hopes, of course, that this show, today's show, will continue the trend of convincing you that reality is usually scoffed at, while illusion is usually king. But in the battle for the survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality and not illusion that determines what the future will bring. In beginning this show, we want to remind you that the views that are expressed here today are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station that you're listening to. They are my views, and they are the views of the persons that we interview. Today, we're going to be talking to an executive pastor, an author, who pastors here in the state of California, and who has some important things to say about the current presidential election season, plus the use of wisdom on the part of those who choose to participate in the voting process itself. We're going to be discussing some other important issues as well. The name of the new book is The House That Wisdom Built. So let us welcome to today's show the author of that book, Pastor Kyle Hoover. Are you there, Pastor?
Yeah, Tom, how are you?
I'm doing great. Of course, in addition to pastoring in Arroyo Grande, California, and in addition to your new book, The House That Wisdom Built, which we're going to be asking you about in a moment. You're also the author of the international seminar, Revolutionary Leadership for the 21st Century Church. We might have you tell us about that. You've traveled both nationally and internationally. You've been on radio and television all over the place. But you also have a specific ministry focus on the sound scriptural principles for living a life of wisdom and achievement. I want to begin this show by asking you a really important question. It's on the mind of a lot of people. You are a pastor, and you have your finger on the pulse of the church, but specifically, what would you say the political pulse of the church is right now in this election season?
Well, you know, it's interesting, Tom, in really being a part of the election cycles for the past, 10, 15 years, it's been interesting to see in 2008, specifically, the church's attention to the election in 2008 as compared to, say, 2004, 2000. It's been one of real, in my opinion, lackluster excitement. I haven't seen the drive or the attention being given to this election by evangelicals that we saw in 2000, 2004 when we elected President Bush. And the reason I think that we're seeing this kind of phenomenon right now is because if you look at the primary season that the Republican Party had, there wasn't a real appeal to the evangelical base. We saw Rudy Giuliani be very, very prominent, almost coronated by the media at the beginning of the primary season. Mitt Romney, another prominent candidate, evangelicals had some issues with the flip-flopping on pro-choice, now he's pro-life, pro-gay marriage, and then it came out that he wasn't pro-gay marriage, so he moved to the right, but the evangelicals really didn't trust him. So we didn't really coalesce around one particular candidate. Maybe Mike Huckabee would be the closest person to that, but in the 2000 and 2004 election, evangelicals really rallied behind President Bush, and Karl Rove was instrumental in really appealing to the evangelical base, the socially conservative base, and I just don't feel that John McCain has really done that. In California, we have an amendment that we're going to vote on to our state constitution, because the Supreme Court has ruled here that marriage can take place between two persons of the same sex. And so we're attempting to amend our constitution to define marriage between a man and a woman. I don't see the fire with the evangelicals that I've seen in the past, and it's almost gotten me a little concerned that evangelicals are going to stay home, and we're going to see a repeat of what we saw in 2006, where they're going to have to flip back the House and the Senate.
Let me ask you something. I mean, you're saying evangelicals. There's also Catholics out there who are considering who they should vote for. And if you go over to WorldNet Daily, you've got Joseph Farah, who's I believe he's an evangelical. He's saying that this is happening because there's nobody among the contenders to get excited about. There was a poll that came out last night that said many of the religious community are actually favoring Obama. And as I understand it, Obama voted to let children die who had survived abortion. I mean, we're talking about actual live birth, little babies that survived abortion, now they're alive, and we simply withhold food or treatment or anything else from them and allow them to die because it was a botched abortion. I can't imagine that anybody in the nation would support, a religious, non-religious, anybody would support this kind of extremism, and yet I've just blown away by this poll last night that's saying many of the religious community actually favor Obama.
I mean, go ahead, Tom.
Well, what are you sensing spiritually about this presidential election season?
You know, I've never seen religion enter into the political arena like it has in this election cycle. And just like you're saying, there are those, and I should backtrack and digress a little bit. When I say evangelical, I should have included our Roman Catholic brothers in that as well. But in this election cycle, with the entrance of Jeremiah Wright and him grabbing the headlines and the associations that Obama has had with the church there in Chicago, theology has come to the forefront in a lot of political discussion. And last night I was watching an interview about the faith of Obama, because now there's many books that are starting to come out all at once, it seems like, and they're soaring to the tops of bestseller lists, and a lot of them are discussing the faith associations and the personal beliefs of Obama. And what they're basically proposing is that he holds to being a Christian, but it's in title only. It's not a substantive, fundamentalist understanding of Christianity. In fact, the interview that I saw, I believe it was on Bill O'Reilly. Bill O'Reilly asked a gentleman that was on his show, if Jesus came back, and he was addressing the abortion issue in the infant side, would Christ allow a baby that had, been taken from the womb in a partial birth abortion to be left to starve? And this person said he would not only agree with that, but he would go beyond that and be more radical than any of us have seen. So what we're really seeing and what I'm sensing in this election cycle is a complete dismissal of traditional values.
Hold on to your thought, Pastor. We'll be right back.
Constitutional Moments are brought to you throughout the day through the generosity of CNC Prototype Machine, Boulder, Colorado.
If you're a woman over 35 and suffering from hot flashes, mood swings, low sex drive, it could be your hormones. Listen to what Suzanne Summers has to say.
All I could think was, who turned up the heat in here? I found out that it's all about balancing bioidentical hormones. My brain is sharp, my moods are even, I'm sleeping great, and I even lost the extra weight in my midsection.
Radiant Clinic is Suzanne Summers' only recommended clinic in Colorado for bioidentical hormones. Look for a location near you at RadiantClinicColorado.com.
If catastrophe struck, would your family be prepared? Are you confident you wouldn't react in a panic? Is there one place to get all of your emergency supplies? Ferris Survival encourages you to have confidence through preparation, not panic through crisis. Ferris Survival, located at 3366 South Broadway, is a professional, reputable, full-service business providing quality, realistic preparedness supplies at an affordable price. Go online, stop by, or call 303-781-0343. Ferris Survival.
This is Ann Johnson. For 14 years, I've owned Brightside Natural Health. The prophecies of Revelation are being fulfilled at an amazing rate, and the kingdom of God is at hand. My passion is to follow God's command to heal the sick and share the reality of Jesus Christ. God faithfully shows me effective, life-changing products like Vital PSP. PSP helps the body heal itself the way God intended. God promises to be present in the midst of your storm. Stop the storm and enjoy God's abundant health. Call me at 303-833-2784.
Here's your chance to make KHNC Radio the best it can be. Become a part of our team. KHNC is looking to expand their sales staff. If you're an experienced commission-only salesperson with a proven track record and are creative, have drive and the ability to work independently, send us your resume now. Fax is 970-587-5450 or mail at P.O. Box 1750 Johnstown 80534. That's 970-587-5450. No phone calls, please.
Well, when we went to the break, we were talking to Executive Pastor Kyle Hoover, author of The House That Wisdom Built, and he was responding to my question about polls showing religious people supporting Obama, a person who in past years, I can imagine, would have been soundly rejected by the faith community over his radical let-them-all-die abortion approach, not to mention a man who has already gone on record saying that there will be gay marriage from sea to shining sea if he's made president. And yet now we have both evangelicals and Catholics who in the past supported men like Ronald Reagan and the Bushes, who now well, you were in the middle of making a comment about all of this. So before I get on a roll, Pastor Hooper, why don't you jump in there and finish what you were saying?
Sure, Tom. What we're basically seeing is an attempt from the left to change the broadening of the definition of these terms, such as faith, the very generic term, and a general redefining of fundamentalist theology, where someone can come out as a candidate and say, "I'm a Christian, Jesus is the God of the religion that I'm in," and yet all the teachings of Christ, the principles of Christ, are disregarded, or there's not a specific fundamentalist interpretation of the Scripture. So without that base, they lose any of the belief systems, such as marriage between a man and a woman, such as being a pro-life in their worldview, having a more traditional, what we would call conservative political bent, that's completely being able to be spun. So in the middle, you have these people who are Christian in term. Maybe they go to church every now and again. They have a general association. Maybe they're young in their faith, and they hear, "Oh, someone's a Christian." And so you're starting to see a leftist play for these quote-unquote religious voters that maybe aren't quite sure in their convictions, or also share in the general almost new age interpretation of a traditional Scripture.
Well, I think you're absolutely right in that the reason for even asking the question about what are you sensing spiritually is that all of this has to reflect that there definitely has been a change that has been occurring. Different polls have shown that different people are leaving churches, other people are coming in. The New Age movement's growing like crazy. Some of the fastest growing religions, including in the United States, have to be what we would think of as occultic, Wiccan. So there is a spiritual climate different now than our forefathers had. Now some of this, as far as the election of the next president, I think right now probably even more important than whether we're talking about John McCain or the Reverend Barack Hussein Obama. I think that the vice president, what the vice presidential pick is, I think most political analysis right now is that that's going to really set the bar for who will be the next president. VP choice this year may be the most important in the history of our country. In your opinion, who would be the best choice for vice president?
Well, you know, right now everybody's trying to, quote unquote, read the tea leaves and, you know, try to find out the inner secrets of what these candidates are thinking as far as a vice presidential choice. Republicans, the short list, you have Governor Tim Pawlenty of Minnesota, Bobby Jindal from Louisiana. Yesterday we saw McCain do an event with Tom Ridge, and he made a statement there going back to the abortion issue that someone being pro-choice doesn't necessarily disqualify them for consideration for the number two pick. My prediction is this on the Republican side. If John McCain, who's not really energizing the conservative base, if he picks a running mate that is moderate, middle-of-the-road or pro-choice, I predict he will lose this election by the ignoring or the frustration of those on the right. If he will pick a solid Reagan-esque style running mate, especially someone that can energize that religious base, I think he will win the election.
May I ask you another question? I think that, and this is just a personal opinion, I think that if John McCain could, I don't even know if he could, but if he could persuade, for instance, a Ron Paul, who is outspoken in terms of his pro-life position. He's also a libertarian. And Ron Paul, as you know, has a significant amount of support, or did have, from a lot of the people who are kind of stuck in the middle, who are really frustrated, voted for George Bush, really frustrated with some of the things that he did regarding the war and some of that, but who also agree with Ron Paul's approach on being a strict constitutionalist and being very, very careful in terms of the loss of you know, like the freedom of speech or liberty. I'm not sure, but in my opinion, if a McCain could get a Ron Paul, I think you've got this extraordinary missing piece of the puzzle. Many of these are evangelicals, too, and many of them are Catholics, too. What do you think about that?
You know, Ron Paul would be an outside-the-box choice, but that would very much shake up the election. I think Ron Paul was probably the only Republican candidate in the primary season that actually was able to tap into the same kind of excitement that we've seen that Barack Obama has tapped into. So if he were to pick somebody like a Ron Paul, I think it would kind of steal some of the limelight away from Barack Hussein Obama.
I do, too. Let me ask you an even more radical question. You're a pastor. Who would Jesus vote for in this election?
Well, that depends on who you ask, because everybody seems to have his ballot in their hand and his endorsement in their pocket. There's an interesting passage that I take my parishioners to when they ask me about voting, because you know, there's this misconception that there's a separation of church and state, and pastors or spiritual leaders shouldn't influence the political process, and I think that's garbage, obviously. But in Joshua 5, as Israel is preparing to go into the Promised Land, there's a figure that appears before Joshua, and Joshua asks him a very interesting question. He says, "Are you for us, or are you for our adversaries?" And the Lord, who's appearing to him there, doesn't say, "Joshua, I came here to back you." He says, "Neither. I come as the captain, the Lord, the captain of the host of the armies of Israel." And it seems like he would say, "Well, this is Israel. These are my people. I've been leading you, and so I'm for you." But he says, "I'm for neither." And so this is what I tell my Christian friends and parishioners, is that we need to make sure that we're on God's side, because God's not Republican or Democrat. God's for himself. God's for righteousness. And so there are plumb lines of right and wrong that the Lord has laid down from Scripture, and we understand that. And the way that Christ would vote if he was born in our era as an American would be the one who would endorse and promote righteousness in the land, whether that be Republican or Democrat, someone who will stand for a biblical worldview. Now, everybody has to vote from the dictates of their own conscience.
Well, and now this reminds me of your book, The House That Wisdom Built, because we've seen in the past when we've cast our lot for particular politicians who during a political season will test the wind and say anything they think they need to say, including pandering to the religious vote or anybody else if they think that will get them elected. And then often after they've been put into their positions of power, they don't necessarily follow what the electorate has put them there to do. And something you said a moment ago requires me to ask you this question. When it comes to Christians and voting, one of the things that I've noticed over at Raiders News Network, a lot of the feedback that we get is that people get confused about a subject called dominionism. The idea that by voting for the right person, I'm talking about the religious community, the church, that by pulling a voting lever, or let's say getting people into other positions of power like the Supreme Court, that by doing that we can build a kingdom here on earth. This is also called Reconstructionism, that we're going to reclaim what was lost in the garden. We're going to build a kingdom on earth, and that once this kingdom is perfected, and really only then, if you follow the teaching of dominionists, only then can Jesus return to the earth to rule over a perfected world that we have reconstructed through political power. Now, in my opinion, there's no pattern for that at all in the New Testament or in the book of Acts. I don't ever see Jesus teaching or in the book of Acts the church trying to build a kingdom on earth through using political influence. At the same time, I think that every American, and especially Christians, certainly have both a duty and a right to be able to vote for what they believe is morally sound or morally good. So what is the difference between dominionism and using political influence to build a kingdom on earth so that Jesus can finally come back, because evidently he's waiting on us to get this done? What's the difference between that and what you're talking about?
Well, one of the things I say when I'm discussing dominionism is you need to watch out for the ism, because anytime you attach the ISM to the end of a word, it's usually followed by a particular ideology. So as a Christian, as a believer, I believe in dominion as far as who we are in Christ and having power in the name of Jesus and so forth. But dominionism, as you said, Tom, is not sound biblical doctrine. That's not a biblical teaching. When we see Christ setting his foot down on the Mount of Olives and coming to set up a millennial kingdom, he's coming to save the world from its own annihilation. This mankind sinks to its lowest point, and Christ rescues us. That's very, very clear from Scripture. So we know that if it's written in the Bible, that it's going to take place. Our best efforts at this point right now is we are voting and we are acting because of righteousness, because there are certain things that are right. Back when the writers of the New Testament were on the scene, they had no capacity to vote. Whoever the king was just the king. And that's why the Apostle Paul wrote in 1 Timothy 2 that he exhorted that prayers and supplications be made for all men, but especially for kings and those that are in authority. He was trying to influence leadership and government so that believers could live quiet and peaceful lives in godliness and honesty. So we want an orderly and righteous society, number one, because it's right to do. And to stand for godly principles, but we also need an orderly society to influence more effectively with the gospel. If witnessing is outlawed and Christian literature is outlawed, Christian media is outlawed, it severely handicaps our fulfilling of the Great Commission. So we are not attempting to set up the kingdom of God on earth. The kingdom of God is within us. We're standing for right because it's right.
Do you think this is part of why the church, many in the church right now in the faith community are confused about things like who to vote for? Because much of the trend, maybe, in mainstream institutional Christianity, if you will, has over the last 20 years kind of departed from where its real power source is. You mentioned we have dominion, have departed from preaching the gospel. And Paul says that this is the power, the dunamain, the dynamite of God. And the disciples in the book of Acts didn't rely on political power. They preached the gospel, but there was something about the supernatural power the impact of the annunciation of the gospel that caused later on secular writers to say that these were the people who had turned the world upside down. Do you think that it would benefit us both politically, socially, and otherwise for the church to return to a dynamic preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ?
Well, absolutely. You know, I don't lay the decline in American culture necessarily or wholly at the feet of politicians. I don't lay it wholly at the feet of the overall church in the United States. I primarily lay it at the feet of people like myself, of people that have a pulpit, they have a voice, they have influence over a particular group of people. And over, you know, the past 50 years or so, 60 years, we've seen what we call cultural revolutions in the 60s. Prayer was taken out of schools, the Ten Commandments, and all these various things that have been attacked, and the church has sat silent.
Well, Pastor, I've met you. I know you personally. I certainly wouldn't point the finger at you. We'll talk about it some more when we come back from this break.
Counted calories and you followed all the latest diet fads, but the pounds still don't come off. Why? Find out August 21st at 6:30 p.m. at our Loveland Clinic location. Join Radiant Clinic's Dr. James Houghton for an educational seminar and understand the hidden causes of weight gain ordinary dieting can't address. Learn how you can lose 20 pounds in 20 days safely. Tuition is free. The knowledge is priceless. Call Radiant Clinic at 970-278-0900 for your reservation today or log on to RadiantClinicColorado.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Tom Phillips, founder of The Green Herb.
Is it me, or have you noticed that personal service is becoming a thing of the past? Is a big store with untrained personnel, or going to a vitamin store and finding several brands of the same herbal product, all at different prices? You don't need to be an herbal expert at The Green Herb. We'll gladly help you decide which of The Green Herb's exclusive products will work for you and work better than anything you buy elsewhere. And we'll give you an old-fashioned money-back guarantee. Come by The Green Herb, located in Wheat Ridge, Colorado, on the I-70 Frontage Road North, 1 mile west of Kipling, or call 888-765-HERB, that's 888-765-4372, or go to our website at www.thegreenherb.com. It's The Green Herb's policy to give you small-town service in the big city, and be sure to listen to The Green Herb Show with Linda and Dr. Cass every Tuesday at 1 o'clock on KHNC.
I'm saving 17 years off my mortgage.
I'm saving $66,000 in interest.
I will achieve the American dream in just 8 years.
These people didn't refinance. They didn't get a raise. In fact, most didn't change their budget or lifestyle at all. Instead, they made a simple switch in how they bank, which revolutionized their ability to pay off debt. This switch is not biweekly payments. Instead, it is a new and different way of you controlling your money.
I never thought that I would be debt-free or mortgage-free. I always thought that I would have a mortgage payment forever. I went to SwiftPayoff.com. I pay off my mortgage in less than half the time without changing my budget.
For more information, call 1-800-760-8091. Call 1-800-760-8091 today.
Better write that down.
An emergency preparedness plan for your home, car, school, and office is a must. Knowing how to store water safely, survive extreme temperature changes, provide reliable shelter, first aid, and sanitation is critical. Knowing where to get the best lights, radios, and other supplies is easy. Ferris Survival, located at 3366 South Broadway, is a professional, reputable, full-service business providing realistic preparedness supplies at affordable prices. Stop by, go online, or call 303-781-0343, 866-781-0343.
Welcome back to Radio Liberty. I'm your guest host today, filling in for the one and only Dr. Stanley Monteith. When we went to the break, I was about to ask Pastor Kyle Hoover, the author of The House That Wisdom Built, about President Bush and the Congress. They have record low approval ratings. And Pastor, your book, The House That Wisdom Built, deals with the subject of leadership. If you could give advice to the current leaders, what would you tell them?
Stay home. No, you know, the Bible addresses so many different topics and issues. It's not exclusively a spiritual book. It's a book about history. It's a book about science, and it's also a book about leadership. And we know from Christ, his example, and what he taught about the subject of leadership, he didn't have to go into complicated seminars. He led by example, and he manifested and taught one particular thing, that leadership is servanthood, and the greatest among you must be the servant of all. If the politicians would have me as an advisor, I would tell them that the politicking, the partisanship, all of that, the American people are fed up. And what we want to see is a return back to servant leaders in our republic. The proof, I feel, of genuine authority and properly handled authority is protection, is provision, and is promotion. From Scripture, we see that. So if we could have leaders that would actually have a heart change, and that's, again, why we need to pray for our leaders, because, you know, God changes the heart. But I wouldn't counsel them on policy. I wouldn't counsel them on what nation to have diplomacy with or to invade or anything like that. I would counsel them primarily on heart issues. And like you said, we need to return to godly principles, beginning with church leadership, which I feel will trickle down to the people, and then will reflect itself in the leaders that we have elected to our offices. So it's an issue of almost personal revival, to use a cliche. If they have a true encounter with Christ, they will, by the nature of that association, begin to imitate Christ. Go ahead.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
I was going to say, prayer is so vital. Lou Engle is in D.C., and the call is going to be happening there. They're going to be praying for the nation, praying for our leaders. So many times we discount the power of spiritual warfare or prayer, but we really need to pray for our nation. We need to pray for our leaders. And, if there's a heart change, if they have a true encounter with Christ, not a cerebral, intellectual assent to being a Christian on paper, but a genuine heart change, that will reflect in their policy.
You know, and certainly the Bible, tells us that we should pray for our leaders, that there might be peace in our communities, and therefore it provides, like you were saying earlier, it provides an environment that is more conducive to the preaching of the gospel and friendlier to the preaching of the gospel. I often feel, however, when I'm praying for our leaders, that I feel more like I want to pray about our leaders. Somebody said, "Do you pray for George Bush?" Yes, dear Lord, get him out of office. but now this brings me to something more earthy and but substantial. And that is, with all this saber rattling that's going on in the Middle East right now, the Soviet Union, what they're doing right now in Georgia, and the potential of Iran. There was a news story we'll probably run at Raiders News Network tomorrow about Israel, you know, seriously considering what might mean to their communities if there's a nuclear exchange between them and Syria or Iran. What would be the repercussions if Israel or the United States took military action right now against Iran? And here's the real question: how might that affect oil, things like that? How might it affect our economy? And what do you think people can do on a practical level to prepare for what might really be the potentiality of that occurring in the very near future?
Well, I can tell you from unnamed sources that Israel has sent planes to Iran and they have been turned around by the United States. So they are waiting for the nod behind closed doors from the United States to take out Iran's nuclear capabilities. What I think we're seeing, and I'll just preface my answer here, what I think we're seeing with Russia going into Georgia, Russia is an ally of Iran. And I think that if the United States is having to focus on this Georgian issue, it's taken away from the focus and the ability, and it's maybe some of the strategy or that they're attempting to take away from it, of securing the Strait of Hormuz and some of the tactical things to kind of clean up the mess or take a proactive role in what could potentially be fallout from Israel striking Iran.
Is this
so,
maybe,
that said,
is this, oh, go ahead.
I was just going to say, that said, I believe that there's going to be a strike on Iran before President Bush leaves office, because I don't think Israel wants to wait for Barack Hussein Obama to get, if he by chance wins the presidency, he will not back a strike. We saw him come out very, very docile initially against Russia's incursion into Georgia. So there's not going to be that strength that the Bush administration will have in supporting Israel. So if we do see that, you know, gas prices have fallen from an all-time high. They're down significantly, probably about 25%. But if that were to happen and gas prices spike, I don't think that the American people, we've had it so good for so long, really, really understand the repercussions of that. We've seen inflation 5% in the last year. And prices of goods going up and services. A practical thing that we're going to have to address is if we have oil spike double what it is now, it's going to affect the ability for diesel engines, big trucks to bring food to stores. Goods and services are going to be are hindered. And if there's a shortage of food that's not on the shelf or at a restaurant, the prices are going to go up because of scarcity. That's basic economics. So if we have a particular shutdown or shortages, people, I'm recommending stock a particular amount of food, a particular amount of ammunition, and also a particular amount of physical gold and silver in your house, because if we see a hyperinflation or an absolute depression in our economy resulting from this kind of a strike and oil prices and so forth, people are going to need to be able to sustain themselves if we see a breakdown in what our infrastructure currently is.
I think that's a lot. I think you wrote the book, The House That Wisdom Built. I think you are offering people wisdom right now. I've been saying this. You know, we started SurvivorMall.com as a result of this of feeling that we could no longer remain silent when we thought that there are things people need to do to make sure they're able to take care of themselves in the future. You got people like Steve Quayle and Stan Deo and Holly Deo and others who have been saying this for the last decade. When we come back from the break, I want to ask you if this is maybe a Gog-Magog alignment.
To order your cassette copy of this program, call the American Freedom Network at 1-800-205-6245. That's 1-800-205-6245.
I'm saving 17 years off my mortgage.
I'm saving $66,000 in interest.
I will achieve the American dream in just 8 years.
These people didn't refinance. They didn't get a raise. In fact, most didn't change their budget or lifestyle at all. Instead, they made a simple switch in how they bank, which revolutionized their ability to pay off debt. This switch is not biweekly payments. Instead, it is a new and different way of you controlling your money.
I never thought that I would be debt-free or mortgage-free. I always thought that I would have a mortgage payment forever. I went to SwiftPayoff.com. I pay off my mortgage in less than half the time without changing my budget.
For more information, call 1-800-760-8091. Call 1-800-760-8091 today.
Better write that down.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier
I look and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your 2-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
We're back. This is Tom Horn filling in for Dr. Stanley Monteith on Radio Liberty. And we're talking to Kyle Hoover, executive pastor and author of the new book, The House That Wisdom Built. When we went to the break, Pastor, I was going to ask you, because you're also a prophecy expert, if this conversation we're having today might also be indicative that there is an alignment occurring now that was prophesied by ancient writers of the Bible concerning Gog, Magog, which could include Russia and Iran, Syria, and other countries who, according to the prophets, at the end of time are going to make this great effort, if you will, to come down against Israel, and at that time God's going to stand up for Israel. Is this just a coincidence that we're seeing all of this happening right now?
Well, I think that this is not necessarily that war beginning per se, but it is definitely showing the emergence of an alignment between who the Bible, Ezekiel 39 discusses this, who the Bible says the players are in that region at the end of time. With uncanny accuracy, the Bible is given the regions, the names of countries that will attack Israel, and we see them now as Muslim nations, and Russia maybe not is not a maybe a Muslim nation per se, but they have imperialistic inclinations where they can piggyback on that Muslim drive to rule the world to meet their own ends. So I like I said before, I think their incursion into Georgia is a hindrance to Israel and the United States plan to strike at Iran. So there's definitely an alliance emerging between Russia and the North, and I mean a strong alliance between them and Iran, which biblically is called Persia. So we know that this war is going to take place. It's prophesied it is going to happen. The God of Israel is going to stand up for the nation of Israel. But we're seeing now the alignment solidify, where even Russia has said to the United States, you are going to choose us or you are going to choose to stand with other nations.
Uh-huh.
And so the line in the sand is really clearly being drawn. So I think that we're going to see some things happen in the next couple of months, especially with the election of a new Israeli government and the exit of Ehud Olmert from power there.
Yeah, that and also, as you say, I mean, you know, the Cold War now is back on big time, and I agree with you that it's more likely than not that before the presidential election occurs, there will be a strike on Iran. And right now, the United States, in word, is distancing itself from Israel, but I think behind closed doors, as we've often had to do for political reasons, I think we definitely are in support of what they need to do to defend themselves. And I also think that if Israel strikes Iran, and if Iran, Syria, or some coalition tries to retaliate against Israel, then you will see the full force of the United States military power. Now, we were talking before we went to the break, however, about prep, about preparation, about what individuals here in the United States could do to make sure they're able to take care of themselves. But if the United States goes into a recession or a pre-recession or some other kind of recession or situation as a result of potentially one of these wars or maybe even the ramifications of what's happening in banking, you've actually gone on record as saying that you do not plan to participate in the recession. Okay. Now, explain what you mean by that.
Well, when Christ was talking about the signs of the end, you're going to hear of wars, rumors of wars. At the end, perilous times are going to come. The Bible's very clear about that. But the message is also equally clear to fear not. And for the believer, I know we can talk a lot about politics and the current events, but what supersedes that is the kingdom of God that's within us, and realizing that our provision is not based on any kind of earthly economy. So I'm not trying to overly spiritualize anything, but the Bible is very clear about the ability to trust God for our provision. We saw that, you know, Elijah was fed by ravens. David said that he was young and now he's old, and some of us can, a lot of us can attest to that, that that phenomenon does happen. But during that time of living, he's never seen the righteous forsaken or his seed begging bread. So one of the things that I'm really wanting to get out to believers is the fact that God, we are not presuming upon him to be a provider, that he is desiring to be a provider for us, just in the same way that I have two small children. I have a four-year-old daughter and a one-year-old son, and I'm glad, I'm happy to be a provider for them. I know we're getting kind of pastoral teaching here, but it gives me a feeling of significance, value, and worth to bless them. So my message is that our hope is not in the President of the United States, it's not in Congress, it's not in the economy of the United States, that it is in a Jehovah Jireh who's looking out for the interests of his children. So my message is that the United States could go into a recession or a pre-recession, but my provision, my economy is based on the kingdom of God. And the word is full of wisdom for living through times like this, and not only maintaining, but actually prospering. Go ahead.
Well, so you're actually saying two things. First of all, you said earlier that people need to prepare, which is important. God warned Noah to prepare, and Noah did what he could do. He built an ark to the saving and salvation. He's listed in Hebrews by his acts of faith, by moving on what God had told him to do. He done
Absolutely.
What he could do, but then he trusted God for the rest.
Exactly. You know, our any work, any action we take in our life, words that we say, the base motivation from our subconscious or our spirit is faith. It is a belief system that is causing you to act in a certain way or to do a certain thing. And so what we need to have is a fundamental understanding of God as our source, and then to trust him with our actions as well.
We'll pick it up there when we return from this break.
Radio is your best choice for advertising. Radio gets results. Call 1-800-205-6245 and find out just how inexpensive and effective radio can be. That's 1-800-205-6245. KHNC 1360, The Lion. That's 1-800-205-6245.
Here's your chance to make KHNC Radio the best it can be. Become a part of our team. KHNC is looking to expand their sales staff. If you're an experienced commission-only salesperson with a proven track record and are creative, have drive and the ability to work independently, send us your resume now. Fax is 970-587-5450 or mail at P.O. Box 1750 Johnstown 80534. That's 970-587-5450. No phone calls, please.
Bill of Rights, Article 1. Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of a religion, or prohibiting the free exercise thereof, or abridging the freedom of speech or of the press, or the right of the people peaceably to assemble and to petition the government for a redress of grievances. Article 2. A well-regulated militia, being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms, shall not be infringed.
the Beth Messiah Congregation invites you to come and experience a Messianic Roots biblically-based congregational fellowship as we observe God's Shabbat in Messiah Yeshua. Praise and worship services begin at 10:30 a.m., followed by an Oneg Shabbat meal, Midrash, and fellowship. Beth Messiah Congregation is located at 8333 Acoma Way in North Denver. You can find out more information by calling 1-800-205-6245. Everyone's welcome, so join us this Shabbat. And Shabbat Shalom, good Sabbath.
Welcome back to Radio Liberty. This is Tom Horn filling in for the one and only Dr. Stanley Monteith. We've just got about 4 minutes left, and before we run out of time, Pastor, I want you to tell people how they can learn more about you. Do you have a website?
Yes, Tom, I do. It is www.thehousethatwisdombuilt.com, and I can be contacted there. I also have some resources available, some podcasts, and I'm actually giving away a free podcast of a teaching I did called 12 Things God Can't Do, which anybody that comes to my website can download for free if they will sign up for my weekly newsletter.
12 Things God Can't Do. Tell me in about 30 words or less what that means.
Well, traditionally, preachers teach that God is known by what he does. So it's just basically the converse teaching there, that God is also known by what he cannot do. For instance, it's very clear from Scripture that God, it's impossible for him to lie. Not that he won't lie, that he can't lie. It's impossible, because if he said, this tree is a duck, he's so creative and so powerful, the tree would instantly turn into a duck. So there's certain things that he is unable to do.
Well, I sure hope he doesn't ever look at me and say, Tom is a duck, then. Hey, how can people get a copy of the book, The House That Wisdom Built?
It is available on Amazon.com. Also, they can order it through my website, thehousethatwisdombuilt.com. There's a store link there. They can order directly from the website. Also, they can get it at bookstores and retail outlets across the United States. It can be ordered through the bookstores if it is not available on the shelf, if it's sold out as well.
All right, so if people go to a store and ask for The House That Wisdom Built by Kyle Hoover, and the store doesn't have it in stock, they can just look it right up on their computer and order it. Many of the stores will have it in stock, or they can get it at your website, thehousethatwisdombuilt.com.
Thomas, they'll order it from the website. I will see to it that everybody receives an autographed copy of that book.
Okay, and you also...
Set some aside.
And you also have stuff there, downloads that they can get, including the one you mentioned a minute ago, 12 Things God Can't Do.
That's right, yeah.
Now, in this book, and let's try to do this so we don't run out of time, you discuss three universal belief systems. And it's interesting because it almost sounds contradictory. God controls everything. The devil controls everything. My decisions decide my circumstances. Explain that.
Well, that is the three universal belief systems. You have a lot of people, and it's very predominant in churches, that say that God controls everything, and everything that happens is orchestrated by God, and so whatever happens, it was obviously his will. But the Bible says 331 times, if you'll do this, then I'll do this. So, a lot of people say, well, that's an attack on the sovereignty of God, but it's really not. God delegated free will to mankind. He says, for instance, that it's his will that none perish, that none end up in eternal damnation, but yet we see broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many find it. Narrow is the way that leads to righteousness, and few find it. So his will is hardly ever done there. The next one is the devil controls everything, which makes Christians and believers victims of, you know, if they sneeze, they get a cold, the devil's the one that gave him the germ. But the Bible really teaches that our decisions decide our circumstances, and God's not sovereign over what decisions that we make. He's sovereign over the consequences for those decisions.
Well, Pastor, thank you for being with us today on Radio Liberty. Good evening, folks. We'll be right back.
Now you can reach the American Freedom Network at our new P.O. Box, 1750 Johnstown, Colorado, 80534, or online at AmeriFree.com.
Andrea here again with Radiant Clinic. Tell me, how are you coming along with that New Year's resolution of